My guest today is Jeff Caudill. I have him here in the studio. We're going to do some live stuff and listen to his CD. This is a track from his CD, Here's What You Should Do. So stick around. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
There's a picture on the wall of some old painting. There's a guitar in the hallway that could use a restringing. And then there's me. There's an unfamiliar figure in the bedroom mirror. There's an answer to your question, but I'll get to that later. There's a girl who knows the difference, but it won't make up her mind. There's a smile she's been saving for something a little bit better.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org, and my guest is Jeff Caudill. Jeff, we'll start with some basics, like where are you from and what do you play? Which is kind of a trick question because I know you play a lot of things.
Well, I don't play that many things. But
well, on this album, I know you play more than just the guitar.
I learned how to play a few things just for this record, I guess. I'm from Orange County, back when it was called Orange County and not the OC. I was pre-OC Orange
County.
Did
the show ruin it for everyone?
Yeah. I moved from there maybe 6 years ago or something like that. But yeah, so I was born and raised Orange County guy and came from, you know, like the sort of pop punk scene down there and got old, got a job, moved to Culver City.
What is specific to Orange County about that pop punk scene? How is it different from the scene in, like, I don't know, Long Beach or somewhere else?
I don't know anymore, man. You know, back then it was, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to stay in touch with what's happening there now, or just in the sort of quote punk rock world in general now. So, but I mean, you know, everyone's gonna say this, but back in the old days, you know, it was lots of fun and it was good times, and it seems like we've graduated from there, and it's a different thing now. I was in a band forever, and we never had a manager, we never had a booking agent, and it seems like nowadays kids, especially from that neck of the woods, they've got all that before they even have songs. You know, they're already looking at their major label options before they have gone on tour.
You think that changes the way people write songs? Were they thinking I'm going to get signed with this one?
I totally believe that. Yeah.
So have you lived your whole life in California?
Yeah.
Southern California?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How has that affected your music? Is California a big part of your music?
Yeah. I mean, whether I admit it or not, I guess I'm always singing about California somehow. Is that a lead in to one of these songs? I'm
it
play?
Could be. It could but, be.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's really not. I mean, there's places that I can see myself living down the road. But I mean, for now, it's definitely home for me, for sure.
Well, yeah, sure. On that note, why don't we jump into a live song?
Well, all right.
What are you gonna play?
A song's called Destination.
All right, let's do it. My guest is Jeff Caudill. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
I don't care for Arizona, and no one's home in Oklahoma, and I can't make north or south of both Dakotas. And I can never get too far from California. Always something leading me right back where you are. Now I've got scars on my face, and I get a new one every day. And I've got 15 minutes to make it to the show. New York looks pretty in the summer, and it's a pretty long way home. But I can never get too far from California. There's always something leading me right back where. Not what makes the world go round, but it's all I have now. I've got a destination. It's you. It's you. I don't care about being lonely, just as long as I'm keeping busy. It seems like there's always someone out to get me. Maybe there should be, 'cause I can never get too far California. There's always something leading me right back where you are. It's not what makes the world go round, but it's all I have now. I've got a destination.
Speaking of destinations, by the way, my guest is Jeff Caudill. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. You were saying you started out in a scene, and you've kind of grown out of that scene. But I think you're being a little modest. You were in a band called Game Face, right?
Right. Right.
And you guys released several albums. So
yeah,
at some point in there, did you think that was sort of the end game? That's what you were going to do?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely definitely a time in my sort of mid-20s where you think, this is it. You know, this is the band. This is the thing. This is what I'm going to be doing. And
were you a victim too of the whole major label?
We got real close at one point. We got flown out to New York and got to have dinner with some people and whatever, and put up in hotels, and that didn't last very long. It's very telling about the whole industry is the guy that we had kind of our shot with it was like in 95, 96, I think. You know, he it seemed real positive. He even flew out to, we were on tour in Europe, and he flew out to see us there, and we were on like a really like dirt tour, like we were sleeping in the club, like sleeping on the floor and in the dirt and in the van, and we didn't shower for weeks on end. But he shows up and he totally takes care of us, gets us a nice hotel, and we're like, this is it, you know, we're I can't wait to get home. We're gonna sign the thing. We're gonna make the record. And between the time where he came out and when we before we got back, essentially, he was fired from the label, and I guess the label passed on, this is like an MCA label at the time, and I guess the label passed on any project that he
all
was
of his projects.
Of anything that he was working on, it wanted nothing to do with it. So that was our shot right there. And after that, I think there's a point where you just become damaged goods if something like that happens. And
you feel kind of cursed.
Looking back then, like I think the timing was right for that then, and some bands, you know, really succeeded, but the window for that sort of stuff that we were doing closed quickly after that. And we weren't really that good. You know, we had heart and we wrote some great songs, but we weren't that really talented of a band. You know,
so sort of like a young learning experience.
Yeah, like today I could not see our, you know, at the talent level that we were at. I don't, you know, I'm not saying that we're horrible or that, and I'm, you know, you know, I'm not saying I'm mediocre, but I'm, you know, yeah, I just think that had that gone through at the right time, we might have been able to maybe squeeze an album or two out and kind of live the dream for a little while. But in hindsight, it was kind of, you know, as with a lot of things in my life, especially, it was good. It was a good, it was a blessing.
Blessing in disguise.
It really was, yes. And so I kind of, you know, got my head out of the clouds and I focused on, you know, more important stuff. And, you know, I've got a real job and a family and a wife and a child, and it's good times. You know, it's like, it's more fun than I would be having in a van.
Right.
For sure. But yeah, it's great. You know,
but clearly you didn't just give up on music altogether. There's you had to keep making music.
There's slim chance of that.
How did you decide you were going to pursue music professionally, continue to pursue it professionally on your own?
I didn't really decide that. I'm just continuing to do it on whatever level I can keep it on. And, you know, even if it doesn't get past this small level that it's on now, it's still like fulfilling for me, you know.
Did you write most of the songs when you were in Game Face?
Yeah. I was definitely the principal songwriter, especially towards like the last two or three records. It was pretty much all me.
But the music you're doing now is
Same thing. Yeah, this is, I mean, the records I've put out, like the Here's What You Should Do, and I guess that's the only full length of my stuff. I have a couple EPs floating around too, but it's all, you know, my stuff.
What I'm wondering is stylistically, like, is it a much different sound than you've been doing before? Taking elements of what you learned from that, or are you kind of rejecting old stuff?
I've just been on a constant evolution. I've kind of been on this path to get to the sort of Americana, folky stuff. I've always liked it, and I've tried to infuse that into some of the later Game Face stuff, but, you know, there's danger in doing that too. You know, you don't want to, you know, especially all the people that kind of, you know, the reason why they liked you in the first place was not because you were a twangy, jangly, wannabe country.
Right,
band.
You need to earn their trust again.
Yeah, so we definitely, you know, couldn't, I couldn't, if for my own, you know, I didn't want to be that selfish and take it that far. So now that it's, you know, a whole new playing field, I'm just, you know, kind of do whatever I want. And right now, that's the thing that's kind of, that I'm really attracted to is the, you know, I like country music. I admit it.
I've heard this term Americana used many times to apply to many different kinds of groups, from bluegrass to country to rock. And what do you think Americana really means? Because I'm sure people will describe you as that when
compartmentalize
you.
I think it's anything you can play on an acoustic guitar, really. You know, there's a fine line between, well, what is known as country music today, which is embarrassing to me, mm-hmm. but then the sort of like alternative country scene. And
what don't you like about the contemporary popular country?
It's as repulsive as like top 40. You know, it's that's what, you know, it's pop music.
So it just sort of lacks imagination.
Completely. It's overproduced and underdeveloped, and it's bad. It's just not good. I mean, I always try to. Yeah, definitely. I'm an indie rocker at heart, and I will not. I mean, I have a few exceptions that I like that I listen to.
Why don't we play another track from this CD, and then we'll talk about how you put it together.
All right.
What do you recommend?
Let's do Stop Writing Songs.
Right. My guest is Jeff Caudill. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
Songs, nobody cares. Everyone knows how it's gonna end. Head in the clouds, I need to come down, but not right now. Stop writing songs, bending the truth, breaking it down. It's no use now that I've got nothing to prove, and it's all over. Get hung up on life. Just give it some time and never pays to try. But you know it ain't easy. Stop writing songs, put down the pen, save yourself and save your breath. You have to confess it was a beautiful mess that got us in.
Back with Jeff Caudill on Is Good on KillRadio.org. So while that song was playing, we were actually talking about how you put this album together. You know, usually the standard is you have a band and then you guys record an album. You really, in your case, it's more you had an album and then you put together a band.
Yeah, I had songs and then I met a guy, Robbie Rist, who's the drummer in my band, but on the album he plays drums and bass and recorded and produced the whole thing. And so for this thing, it was essentially Robbie and I doing the whole thing. And we had a few people come in and play some extra instruments.
But that must be an exhausting recording process, because you have to keep going back over and over with
multi-tracking. Yeah, well, I didn't really know exactly what the song was going to sound like until it was done. But it was fun, because I came from a world where, you know, you have four guys and you practice for 6 months and you go and you record your songs in 2 days and that you're done. And so we did this, you know, it was just a new experience for me, and I thought it was great. It is exhausting, especially I work, and you only have so many free hours during the week where you can even make that kind of stuff happen. But I love being in the studio and making music and stuff. But it was a brand new process for me, and I'm still doing it like that. Although I do have a group assembled now, everybody, A-plus player. This is a really kind of a dream band for me, where I'm the worst guy. I'm the worst guy in the band. Like, everyone's very, very good at their instrument, and they're a joy to play with. And
tell me about the first time that you got on a stage, separate from your past, as Jeff Caudill, promoting this album, perhaps, with these new players, when previously you'd only had the safety of the studio, or it was just you and your guitar.
Yeah.
What was the first time that you were up there sort of emulating the sound that we were just listening to?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was a few months ago. I mean, we hadn't been playing around very much. But this whole thing has been a slow process, really getting, and all for good reason. And, you know, it's fine. I'm really in no hurry anymore. But by the time we finally, you know, had enough, everyone had their calendar clear enough to really commit to it and make it happen, it was really, really, really comfortable. And and I kind of felt like, you know, now I've kind of split myself off from my past, you know, and I don't want to always be this is some dude that was in this band and now he's just trying to like do solo stuff. My goal is to kind of, you know, put out enough material to eclipse what I did with the previous group and just keep continuing, you know, it's just keep making stuff, you know.
I'm curious, like, describe how that feels, sort of feeling at one point like you had been known, you know, you had a certain following, and now it's almost like you're coming out of nowhere of your own choosing to be an unknown, you know, to rise up under your own name.
Yeah.
How is, like, your early audiences under your own name, how are they responding to you?
I think the few that are still hanging on are actually very supportive and excited about it, and I've been getting, you know, nothing but good feedback. However, I mean, you can tell that, you know, not everyone's along, not everyone's on board with the sort of new thing.
But are you making up for that with new fans who aren't familiar with you at all?
That's the goal, you know, and I feel like it. I feel like it's slow. And I'm not a guy that's going to get out there and I'm terrible at promoting myself, and I'm a bad salesman.
Promoting is awful.
at the pace I'm going, I feel like that's happening. But yeah, that is the goal. I'd rather, you know, someone kind of stumble across my stuff, and not because I was, you know, the singer of Game Face, or just because, hey, you know, the guy has got some good songs.
Speaking of your songs, what do you want your audience to sort of take away from them? Like, if they see you in a, especially if you're doing it in sort of like an intimate environment, like a smaller venue, mm-hmm. where, you know, an audience member might come up to you after the show and be like, you know, I really like this. Do you want them to think about the story of your songs, or is it more of just an atmospheric sort of thing?
No, the story thing is really where it's at for me. And I do get that occasionally. I love it, you know, like that people really relate to a certain story, or like, you know, like people will tell me, this is how I imagine this song, and this is how this is how I apply it to my story or whatever. And that's like the best compliment, if someone can kind of feel what you're saying and apply it to their life. And that's really rewarding. And that's, for me, being like the singer-songwriter guy, and there's, you know, there's 1,000 of them probably within a concentric mile of this building.
I could probably throw a rock out this window and hit one in the head.
I guess I just want to be, I don't know, like, I'd like to be seen as he was doing it for real, and he wasn't just trying to be some weepy guy who I don't know. I feel like the best thing I can do or be is just like be real and be like, you know, I'm not trying to like to.
You just want to write songs and you want to perform them and have people.
Yeah, I mean,
take
yeah,
them in.
That's it. I mean, I'm yeah.
Why don't we do that then? Why don't we do another live song?
All right.
What do you got?
I guess here's another. We're gonna stay on kind of a theme. So this is a newer song. It's not on the album. It's on this EP that you can't find anywhere for some reason. I love when that happens, except for my website, if anyone wants to check it out. Anyway, this song is kind of I wrote this with a friend of mine. He has a group called Drive Till Morning. He's from Brooklyn, and we go way back, you know, kind of back in the old punk rock days. And we wrote it together and recorded it together. And so I'm gonna play this song, and like I said, it's kind of goes back to the old days.
All right.
Sounds called I Was the Lead Singer.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Jeff Caudill.
Well, I was the lead singer before I learned to sing, and I wore a shiny new guitar and my heart on my sleeve. Now I'm no entertainer, but I'm the one you came to see. I made myself an easy target and easily forgotten. And I told it like it was, but sometimes I said too much or not enough, but it's alright. And so goes the song I'm singing tonight. Now I was the lead singer of a band you used to know, from photocopy flyers and 7-inch records. And do you still remember? We thought we'd change the world with broken strings and broken hearts and vocals out of tune. And I told it like it was, but sometimes I said too much but not enough, but it's alright. So goes the song I'm singing tonight. And if I close my eyes, wide awake in my sleeping bag, on a hardwood floor, yesterday's clothes, no clue what tomorrow will bring. And memories fading, but the fire still burns inside of me, always a part of me. Told it like it was, but sometimes I said too much but not enough, but it's alright. And so goes the song I'm singing tonight. And so goes the song I'm singing tonight. So goes the song I'm singing tonight. And so goes the song I'm singing.
My guest is Jeff Caudill. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Do you remember your first guitar?
Yeah.
Well, what was your first guitar?
First acoustic guitar was like one of those Ovation. It was like a fake. It was, oh no, it was not called an Ovation. It was called an Applause. Applause. Ovation. Applause. And then it was like those round back, plastic round back things. And I think Dave Matthews plays one of those today, but nobody else does. And it's very uncool as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, so, and then my first electric guitar was a red Yamaha, like looked kind of like a Strat, but it wasn't. But I got that guitar, like I kind of made a bet with my dad. It was a stupid, like I think that it was during his drinking days, apparently. But we were up really late one night, and we were talking about guitar, whatever, and we were messing around, and this is the stupidest story ever, and I can't even believe I even started telling it.
Well, you have to finish it now.
so we were up really late, and I think he was just trying to sober up, or maybe not, but my dad's not an alcoholic, by the way. I'm just one of, you know, it was a short period in the 80s. So
everybody was.
Okay, here comes the dumbest story ever. I had a towel, and I was like kind of flipping a light switch on and off with it, like as you would with a towel, I guess. And I would flip it on and off and on again, and you know, every time I was hitting it, and my dad says, if you can do that, you know, 10 times in a row, I will, you know, give you money to go buy your guitar. And of course I was
so, why did you want a guitar in the first place?
Because it was cool, and yeah. because Judas Priest played them.
Wait, is that what that was my next question? So what were you listening to when you first started fooling around with the guitar? What were you listening to?
Oh yeah, it was the early 80s, I guess, and heavy metal, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Saxon, Scorpions, you know, that was it for me. That was my first real voyage into, like, I'm going to find my own music, and this is what I'm going to be into. And it didn't last that long. You know, I discovered, you know, punk rock shortly. You know, as soon as I hit high school, it was like, oh no, I cut the mullet, and I was all about, you know, finding punk bands and stuff. But heavy metal was my first sort of thing. And I tried to dress the part as much as I could, you know. You know, I slit the side of my t-shirts.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes cut the sleeves off. Yeah, I would rock the a lot of Iron Maiden t-shirts. My parents were not happy with that. But
and looking at your music now, who are some of the artists either that you listen to now or that you knew from a way back that, you know, that you not necessarily want to be like, but that you right. that are influencing you?
I guess I should say alongside of that, you know, heavy metal stage, I stumbled across a few sort of punkish, like all indie-ish bands, that one of which it was REM, and that was kind of my like closet. Like I really liked REM. I mean, I liked Aerosmith and Saxon, and you know,
is there something sort of uncool about listening to REM if you're hanging out in a punk crowd, because REM is maybe sensitive and more poetic?
Sure. But I was in junior high, and everyone was like into Leatherwolf and whatever we were into, Armored Saint. But yeah, like I liked REM, and I liked I guess REM was like the first like sort of lead in to discovering indie rock, you know, to other cooler bands and stuff. And so from there, of course, you know, nowadays I like a lot of the alt country stuff, like Wilco and Sunvolt, and you know, I love Ryan Adams and the old 97s and things like that.
Speaking of country, you have a unique quality to your voice, and I'm wondering is it something that you developed specifically for this music? I don't want to call it a twang, but it's that's the only word I can think of.
I think that's generally associated
with Americana music.
I think I've always kind of had a, you know, sort of a, yeah, I guess. But of course, you know, I'm playing the music that I play now. It comes out a little
sort
more
of emphasize
full on.
That.
But yeah, I guess I was always pretty twangy. I loved Michael Stipe's voice, and he's got that sort of, I mean, he's not like, I wouldn't call him a country singer really, but
no, but I know what you mean. He has that, there's a certain something to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that it's always kind of been there, but you know, now it's just surfacing a lot more. And I can get away with it a lot easier, you know, we're playing acoustic guitar and singing these types of songs, you know, than four bar chords and you know, 100 miles an hour.
Do you see people getting more out of your music by like when you imagine your audience listening to Jeff Caudill music, do you picture them in a bar listening to you playing live or in their car listening to the CD?
It's definitely more of an intimate thing. Yeah, I think it's hard to really get the full thing. Not like, you know, I'm not saying because it's so amazing and it's, you know, it'll consume you, but I think it's music that it's better listened to in a quiet place, or at least not in a bar.
But seeing it's it being performed.
It's not going to get, you know, people out on the dance floor or anything.
No, but I mean seeing it performed live versus just listening to the CD. Because like some
right.
bands,
well,
they're just
yeah.
not really live acts, you know, even though
they
play live.
I feel like the band we've got now is a pretty good live act, you know, and I don't play as much as I would like to live, because I love doing it. You know, unfortunately, my records are what most people are going to, you know, are the most that a lot of people are going to get from me. I'm not
right.
going to be, you know, like touring a lot and, you know, I do feel like the records represent what I'm all about, but they're really, there's not a lot of, you can't do much better than, you know, than seeing it live, I think.
Are you playing live anywhere?
For anybody.
Are you playing live anywhere in the near future?
Yeah, next month. Well, around here, I'm playing at the Hotel Cafe on the 19th of January. Yeah, January 19th, I'm there. And then a couple other places around, just kind of in the near vicinity. But that's my next LA thing.
We were talking a little bit about this when you first got here, about venues and performing. Describe the sort of adventure in saying, you know, listen, I'm this musician. I've been doing mm-hmm. music for a long time. I have this CD. How do you translate that to a venue owner?
And, doesn't and matter.
They don't care at all.
They don't matter. It's especially around here. And I don't know if it's just how LA is, because I haven't lived here forever, or just how it is now, or just how it is in the sort of singer songwriter thing. Because it wasn't like that, you know, when we were growing up and playing in our punk bands and have, you know, everybody knew everybody, and we were all friends, and we all helped each other out. And we played shows together, and even the venues. We're run by cool people, you know, and now
you have to like prove that you bring a certain amount
of people.
Yeah, now
it's like, hey, man, if you don't get 30 asses in the seats tonight, you're not getting paid, and it's a good chance we won't ask you to play here again, no matter how good you are.
Wow.
You know, and so that's hard because I'm 35 years old, and my friends, you know, they got jobs, you know, they got things, places to be at night.
And you're trying to expose yourself to a new audience
yeah.
too. You can't keep dragging your friends.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like to get to start off, you gotta kind of bribe your friends to at least prove that you can draw people, and then hopefully the fans will follow. And you know, I don't know. It's been a while since I was really worried about trying to get people out to the shows, but now, you know, it's a completely different world for me. I mean, being at the age I am now and the scene I am and where I live, I'm not used to it. And it's a little sad, but it's how it is, you know.
Well, I get a free live performance here every week, so I have no need to go out.
I'm happy to do that, yeah.
Well, you know what? I want to make sure I get at least two more songs out of you before we run out of time.
Right.
So why don't we do another live one?
Okay, let's do... All right, this is the kind of rocker on the album, the first song, but I'm gonna bring it down a little bit. Okay.
All right, my guest is Jeff Caudill. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org.
Never sure of where you're headed.
That sounded good. Let's do that again.
Never sure of where you're headed. Not concerned with where you've been. And little tragedies, they fall into place just like you planned them.
looking through these broken windows. Opportunity's gone by, and every wrong turn, every dead end just leaves you spinning. But you can't come back if you've never been. Can't go down with the ship if it's already came and went. But it's alright, and there's always time to turn the page and write your favorite version of your life. There are days to come and ways to come undone. But you can't slow it down, can't have it all, but you can always change what you want. But you can't come back if you've never been. You can't go down with the ship if it's already came and went. But it's alright, and there's always time to turn the page and write your favorite version of your. It makes no sense to plan things out, 'cause it all works out in the end. And you don't have to beat yourself up, 'cause we all screw up. Yeah, we all screwed up, my friends. But you can't come back if you've never been. And you can't go down with the ship if it's already came and went. But it's alright, and there's always time to turn the page and write your favorite version of your life. Your favorite version of your.
Awesome. Good. Awesome. Just going back to storytelling.
Yeah.
Is there a certain theme that you keep coming back to in your music that you can't avoid? Or are you telling stories about personal experiences?
Yeah, they're mostly just stories. You know, like every record is a document of kind of what's going on. Sometimes I try to step out and write, you know, from a different perspective or from a different person's view or whatever. But for the most part, you know, it's all kind of it's my journal, you know, it's my way of kind of getting stuff out and moving on. And especially this record's a lot about kind of just putting the past to bed and moving on. So I mean, I was thinking of, you know, this is just the songs I picked for today. It's like they're all kind of about like closing a door and moving on. So.
What is your writing process sort of like? Does it start with a tune in your head that you then put words to, or does it start with the words?
Usually it's a tune. You know, I sit, you know, just sit around, play guitar, and if I come across something that's good or that I don't think that too many bands have already played before, the music comes first, like this the sound or the feeling of the song, and words I tend to agonize over because I want to say it the right way and say something that. Say in a way that I haven't heard a million other times before. So it, you know, it's easy just to kind of repeat the same thing over and over again, or pick something that you think people are going to just get right, you know, right off the bat. But so lyrics come a little bit slower for me. But
is that a concern for you too, like sounding other artists?
I want to years from now look back and still be proud of what I said. And I don't want it to sound like it's, you know, there's sometimes not there's no avoiding it sounding like, you know, other artists and other, you know, like especially for me, very reminiscent. I mean, I've been told, you sound like Bob Mould, you sound like Matthew Sweet, you sound like, you know, mm-hmm. the guy from Toad the Wet Sprocket, or you've got, you know, you sound like, my best compliment was you kind of have a Ryan Adams thing with less attitude. I like that.
Do you listen to a lot of music, like in your downtime?
I definitely. I try to stay on top of. Try to stay on top of it. You know, you do kind of. Everyone hits a point where you kind of give up, or you reach your sort of musical peak. Like, or, you know, I'm admittedly somewhat stuck in that sort of late '90s phase. You know, like I kind of stopped really trying. Like, there's some things I just don't. I don't get. Like some of the new stuff coming, I don't get. Mm-hmm. But I try to. You know, but I still try to do it. But I'm going to just say, okay. Maybe that's for the young man,
right?
Maybe that's their music.
It's like when my mother asks me about rap music, and she's like, "It's not that I don't like it; it's just that I don't know what they're talking about." Yeah. I'm like, "Well, mom, it's because they're writing it specifically to exclude you."
That's for you. I guess that's the beauty of that.
But, where can people get? Here's what you should do.
It's on iTunes. You can download that there. Of course, you can get anything on my website, and that's where I prefer you get it because.
And that's jeffcaudill.com?
That's correct. Yeah, and it goes back into, you know, the next record, you know, which we're already kind of about halfway through, which still means it'll be about a year before it's done, just at the pace that we go.
And this is completely self-released? There's no label or anything like that?
Yeah, I had a few tiny label options, but I decided, you know, at this point, I'd rather just keep it, you know, and it's not that important for me to play that game, and you know, and a lot, you know, especially even the smallest labels are like, well, if you're not going to, you know, get on the road and pimp your album across the country, then maybe we don't want to get involved with you.
So they, you know, if you join up a label, even with a small label, they're going to start dictating your behavior, what you have to do,
or at least they will expect you to mm-hmm. to get out there and do that. And I'm just, you know, I can't commit to that. So, but I will commit to continually putting out records, you know, whether they're, you know, on my own little thing or otherwise. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep doing it. And it's, you know, it's great. Like nowadays, it's great that, you know, we have that sort of digital outlet because, you know, somebody in Germany can get it.
Someone in Germany could be listening right now.
Actually, truthfully, this record was licensed on a label in Germany, and you can get it in proper record stores there. It's probably more visible there than it is in the States. So,
And you have a popularity in Europe from having played there, or
Game Face toured there a few times, but and I just did in February, coming up on a year ago, we did my keyboard and / mandolin player, he and I, Mike, we did a solo tour, two weeks in mostly in Germany. We did that last year or this year, a long time ago in February, and. That was great. It was fun.
So you're saying, like, right now you're not really interested in, you know, going to Tucson and, like, going everywhere around the country touring with your music. You just want to write music and release albums. But if you reach a level where there's a extremely high demand for your music, you'll probably end up touring.
If there's a way to still be, you know, a good husband and a good dad and still pay the mortgage, then I'm there, you know, sign me up. I'll bring the family.
So it's not that you don't want to do it. It's just you don't want to sacrifice the rest of your life.
Yeah, I think I've invested too much in my, you know, my real life that I don't, yeah, I'm not going to throw, you know, I can't put that in jeopardy anymore. You know, I don't have that option anymore. So.
Why don't we listen to another song from this? What do you recommend?
Let's do Nightlight.
Okay. This is a song called Nightlight from the Here's What You Should Do album by Jeff Caudill. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Where are we gonna live? Where are we gonna go? Changed our minds again. It's time the seeds begin to grow.
There's a key to the back door, but we don't need it anymore. Now that summer's come and gone.
Back with Jeff Caudill on Is Good on killradio.org. So while that song was playing, we were talking about limitations and freedoms. And the thing about being a solo artist and it being your name on here is on the freedom side, you can try a lot of things that maybe you wouldn't try if you had to, you know, get approval from all your band members.
Definitely.
But then on the limitation side, there's, you know, you're taking all of the risk. If you come out with something that you thought maybe was a good idea, you can't then, you know, blame the drummer.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, that was his idea. How are you kind of finding that, reconciling that balance in your music?
I'm all for. I mean, I'm all for like sucking too. You know, like
taking that risk.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely not afraid to be lame. It's exciting. You know, even on Andrew, we were talking about this song. This it has some. You know, I faked my way through some piano, which I don't know how to play. And there's some percussion things that I was really excited about. The I don't know what it's even called, but it's the thing where you get the hollow wooden fish and you drag the stick across it. But but I was really excited about that. But like, you know, years ago, that would never, like something like that would never fly in my guitar, bass, drums, and vocals world. But now it's like, you know, hey, do we know a guy who plays an accordion, or do we know anyone who plays like hand drums or some sort of hippie percussion thing, or do we know anyone that plays a cello? Let's call them up and see what it sounds like on this song. You know, and I mean, the downside is we won't always be able to sound like the record when we play live, but you know, unless we have like 17 people hitting triangles and you know, doing, but for me, I mean, that's the art project about it. I love just making something. It's really kind of what it comes down to, whether it's like a painting or a logo design for, you know, something. But I love the art project aspect of it, and that's kind of what is, you know, that's kind of describes the music part too. You know, I just want to make something that's pretty to look at or listen to.
You know, I was thinking the other day about how, you know, musicians really have it tough because they put all this effort. You know, it can take years to make an album, and then you finish that album, but then you're not done. You know, you have to continue writing music and writing songs. You know, it's not like a filmmaker. You know, spends years putting together a movie, makes the movie, releases the movie, and then there's not necessarily that demand. Like, okay, quick, write another script. You have to do it now. Like, you know, 10 more. You know, are you currently working on a new album?
Yeah. I'm always writing songs. You know, I'm always like, but yeah, we are kind of halfway, maybe five songs into a new record, recorded the a similar way, you know, just Robbie and I, when we've, you know, but we've stopped for now, and the goal is to have the band, have the proper band, finish up the record, like do the other 5-6 songs and record it more like a real functioning band instead of just this sort of solo thing. But we'll still, you know, we'll hang all sorts of junk on it when we're done, you know, whatever works. And
and do you ever do live acoustic acts, just you and your guitar, like in a a Room 5 kind of scene?
Yeah, sure. I still enjoy doing that. I mean, I had been doing that like solely for like a year or so right after my band broke up, and then, but now the thing is, now that we've got the band thing together, it's so like it's made me so happy that I would always prefer to go out with the band.
Do you feel like you play better when you have them kind of supporting you?
Yeah. Although I'm not against doing the acoustic thing because I enjoy it, but right now like the band thing is just getting a lot of fun for me. So I always prefer to rock with the guys.
Well, if you could do me the favor, one more acoustic song before we have to go.
You got it.
What do you got?
This is usually my closer. The song's called My Side of the Bridge. And I think, I want to believe that the song was written like the day or the week that my band officially closed up shop. And it was kind of like my sort of, maybe the first song written towards the solo career, if you want to call it a career.
Nice. Well, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, isgoodmusic.com.
It's time we got out of this bloodshot town. Push the TV out the window and follow the numbers all the way down. Now I've got a long way to go, so there's no sense hanging around. It's good to be out, but I can't make it tonight. I'm tired of singing about my life. I'm gonna flip it back on the A side and burn my side of the bridge. Destined for chance, committed to change. I'd rather be lost in California than king of the parking lot states. Now I've got a long list of things gone wrong and no one to blame. I have to explain, but I can't make it tonight. I've used up my last goodbye, and I'm gonna disappear in the red taillights and burn my side of the bridge. How long have I been bleeding? How long have I been bleeding, yeah. Now I can't wait to let the good times roll. And I've got enough tape to cover 3 time zones. Now I've got a lot to learn about keeping things under control. And be on the down low. So
I can't make it tonight. I've used up my last goodbye, and I'm gonna get up and on with my life and burn my side of the bridge, my side of the bridge, my side of the bridge. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Jeff, thanks so much for coming in, man.
You got it.
Everyone should go check out jeffcaudill.com as well as myspace.com/jeffcaudill.
That's it.
C-A-U-D-I-L-L. And pick up a copy of Here's What You Should Do. And you're playing Hotel Cafe next in January?
Yep, the 19th. January 19th, Hotel. I'm playing in Long Beach on the 12th. But yeah, next LA show, Hotel. Try to go if you can.
Yes, do nice. Go. Yes.
It's a good time for everybody.
So I'll be back next week. My guest is DJ Barbeau. You can download this interview from isgoodmusic.com, myspace.com/thisisgood. It'll be up in a couple hours. So thanks for listening. Stay tuned for an archived edition of The People Who Do That on killradio.org.